Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Over the past couple of days, we have been looking into the background behind what has come to be known as the Joseph Smith translation of the Bible, or the inspired version. It can be understood either way. A lot of Mormons today just call it the JST for short, Joseph Smith Translation, JST. What we've showed you in the past couple of days is the fact that there's some words being used that I think can be very confusing to most outsiders, probably even confusing to many members of the LDS Church. And of course, as we read to you from Section 73 in the Doctrine and Covenants, it talks about how Joseph Smith was commanded to give a translation until it be finished. I read you also a statement from J. Reuben Clark of the First Presidency during the time of David O. McKay, where he admitted that it's really not a translation at all, but not only is it not a translation, it wasn't even finished. That's a theme that Mormons still carry on to this very day. If you were to ask a Mormon, well, why don't you use the Joseph Smith translation if you feel the Bible that we have available to us today is not accurate or trustworthy? They will say, well, Joseph Smith began it, but he never was allowed to finish it. And as I mentioned, that theme is a modern theme that Mormons will use to try and rebuff a question like that. We're looking at the Ensign Magazine. This is the April 2014 edition of the Ensign Magazine. That's an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There was an article in that edition, it begins on page 52, called The Atonement of Jesus Christ, Insights from the Joseph Smith Translation. So even though the Mormons will argue, well, we don't use it as an official version, they certainly do hold it in high regard, and they certainly do reference it, and they certainly do give the impression that it is a better rendition of the Bible than what we have available today. So whether it's official or not really becomes irrelevant. The fact is, Mormon leadership does respect it.
I think we need to point out, too, that out on the streets, a lot of people have never even seen a pure Joseph Smith translation. I know you used, for many years out on the streets of Manti, a copy of that and would quote from the Bible, and then they wanted to see what version it was. Is that the King James Version? You would show them, well, no, it's not a King James, and you'd turn to the front and you'd show them inspired version, and Joseph Smith is the translator and all of that, and they are amazed because, I mean, some of the words that he actually puts in, he adds the word alone in Romans 3:28, a lot of Mormons have never seen that or don't know a whole lot about it. So we're not assuming many Latter-day Saints know much about the Joseph Smith translation. If you go on our website, MRM.org, we have an article. It's the / ensign hyphen atonement, or you can just go to the very front main page, and there's an article that I have written that has a lot of this information. But we think you as a Latter-day Saint ought to get caught up on this. It's called The Joseph Smith Translation, An Improvement Over the Original, or Much Ado About Nothing. And it's talking specifically about the Joseph Smith Translation, as well as this article that we're going to be looking at here in these next days, The Atonement of Jesus Christ. And I like the sidebar. I think it states it in a very big summary here, that Joseph Smith's translation of the Bible enhances our understanding of the Savior's suffering, death, and resurrection. And I ask the question, is this really true? Does the Joseph Smith translation help us? Let me go ahead and read the first paragraph on page 52. This is their introduction to getting into five different accounts of Jesus' last couple of days before his crucifixion. And it says, soon after the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was organized, the prophet Joseph Smith was divinely commissioned to make a translation, or revision, comma, of the King James Version of the Bible.
Now, that's a clever way of explaining it. Because if we were to merely say it was a revision, then of course you would wonder, well, what's the source of the revision? What's the reason for the revision? What does the revision include? And it's kind of like this, going into a bookstore and you see a number of Bible translations on the shelf, and then you see one book that says simply a revision of the Bible. Wouldn't you be a little bit skeptical about that book sitting on the shelf over all the other ones? Of course you would be. You should be. What does that really mean? When they couple it with the word translation, now I think the church is being a little deceptive here.
Mm-hmm.
Because even their own leadership, as I cited earlier on another broadcast, J. Reuben Clark admitted it's not a translation. And here the church is using that word again in their April 2014 edition of the Ensign magazine. They're using a word that has been repudiated by past leaders. Now, why are they doing that? I think the reason they're probably doing that is because if they only had the word revision there, that would raise the questions, just the same as it would raise a question if you saw a book on the shelf that said a revision of the Bible. It doesn't answer any questions for you at the point.
Well, notice they don't call it the Joseph Smith revision.
No, they don't.
They call them Joseph Smith translation. If I ask you, Bill, what translation of the Bible are you reading from, we understand what that means. You're using a Bible that somebody has gone to the original languages to take those words from the Hebrew and Greek and move it into the English so you can understand it. But I don't ask you what revision you read. And so people understand when you call it a Joseph Smith translation, I think it's unfair to now throw in, oh, maybe it's not quite a translation. Maybe it's a revision.
Why are we making a big deal out of this? I mean, what's wrong if Joseph Smith was to bring forth another translation? I think that's fair if that's what he really did, but that's not what he did. So that clouds the issue right there. But still, I think we need to let the words have some meaning here. And the Mormon Church oftentimes plays fast and loose with words that we have generally understood to mean certain things. And so when they say that Joseph Smith was commissioned to make a translation or revision, that, folks, is misleading because he didn't produce a translation, even though he was truly commanded to do that in Doctrine and Covenants 73. He didn't do that.
And let me point out once more, I said this yesterday, this is an unauthored article. This is unattributed to anybody. But it seems to me, I don't know, I might be wrong on this, Bill, but having somebody's name there, you could say, well, that's his personal opinion. By not having any name in a church magazine tells me that this is sponsored officially by the church, regardless of whether it was a BYU professor or it could be Thomas S. Monson who wrote this. I don't care.
I think you make a good point, because if a Mormon was going to try and distance himself from the statements in this particular article because there is no name or author given to it, the church would be certainly irresponsible for allowing this to get into an official publication if, in fact, the leadership of the church did not agree with what is being written in this article. And there are a lot of things in this piece that I think need to be criticized soundly.
It continues, he labored off and on, Joseph Smith did, for the rest of his life to fulfill this assignment. The Bible Dictionary explains, quote, although the major portion of the work was completed by July 1833, the prophet continued to make modifications while preparing a manuscript for the press until his death in 1844, and it is possible that some additional modifications would have been made had he lived to publish the entire work, end quote. That's from the Bible Dictionary published by the LDS Church.
Aren't they making a lot of assumptions there? First of all, what does it say here? Although a major portion of the work was completed by July 1833, that's not really what Joseph Smith himself said. If you really look at what Joseph Smith himself actually said about this, he actually believed we this day finished. He finished the scriptures. This is in the...
That's in the History of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Volume 1, page 368. Let me just quote it exactly. We this day finished the translation of the scriptures for which we return gratitude to our Heavenly Father.
If he's going to say that we finished it, Does the word finished have a different definition back in the 1800s than it has today? If so, then please enlighten me on this. But Smith seemed to think that he was done with it.
Well, and it was confirmed in the church chronology from 1899 on page 9. Mormon assistant church historian Andrew Jensen said, Joseph the prophet finished the translation of the Bible under the date of July 2nd, 1833.
And for a number of years, that was cited in the LDS Church Almanac, and I can't remember the exact year when that changed.
Since its 1993-94 edition, it concurred with that statement, but then, for whatever reason, and you and I looked this up when we wrote our book Answering Mormon's Questions, we wanted to find out, and you have all the almanacs going back to I don't know how long, and we found in the 2001-2002 edition, it started to report that on July 2nd, 1833, the prophet Joseph Smith finished the translation of the New Testament. But that doesn't make any sense because he had finished the New Testament earlier.
I know. In other words, Latter-day Saint, you're being fed another bit of revisionism here because that's not the way history really tells the story.
Not just history, but LDS history, because it's the History of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Volume 1, page 324. It says that he finished the New Testament on February 2nd, 1833. Now, in the Almanac, they're saying it was July.
Well, they don't now.
They don't do it now, but they were doing it from 2001 on and explaining it that way, and that's just not accurate.
Okay, let's go on with the article itself.
The Joseph Smith translation is an invaluable aid to biblical understanding and interpretation. It is a witness for the divine calling and ministry of the prophet Joseph Smith.
It also works both ways, though. A Mormon, of course, is going to look at it as witness of his divine calling. But at the same time, we could say that it's also a witness to show that he didn't have a divine calling. First of all, he's not even really doing what God supposedly commanded him to do. It's not a translation. That's what he was commanded to do. He does what? He produces a revision. If he's going to produce a translation, he better know the Hebrew and the Greek from which the Bible came from. He needs to have the manuscripts in front of him in order to make that transition from the Hebrew and the Greek to English. He does none of that. So the Mormon Church is really foisting upon us a word that is inaccurate. And they continue to keep using this word, which, of course, is inaccurate.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormon's Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.